lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, episode number 167. The show with songwriters talking to other songwriters all about the craft of songwriting. They can be brand noobs, experienced professionals, anything in between. Together, the idea is that we share all the stuff we picked up over our careers, and we share what we learned, and the idea is that we all learn four new things about how to write better songs each and every show. Don't forget, you can always find us here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On the live stream at songtalk.ca. And, of course, we're broadcasting live on CJRU 1280 a.m. in Toronto. Tonight, I'll be your host. My name is Phil Emery. And, as always, we have the very dedicated members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. Mr. Neil Modi.
Greetings, all.
And sitting in for Bruce tonight is our friend Patrick Ballantyne.
Hello.
Hey Patrick.
Patrick Ballantyne is a very sought-after co-writer with cuts on over 10 albums and two solo albums of his own. Catalog is consistently expanding. He has been awarded many awards, 2014 Reader's Choice winner, Songwriter of the Year, has had film and TV placements up the wazoo, and has been on our show many times himself and is one of our favorite songwriters. Thank you, Patrick, for coming in.
Well, thank you very much. And what's a wazoo?
Yeah, I hear that you were on a show called Wazoo. Is that right? Your song got placed on a show called Wazoo?
I wrote the theme song for Wazoo.
For Wazoo?
Did you really?
No. It would be good.
That's amazing.
I plan on doing it later.
Yes, you do now.
And, of course, as always, bravely managing the social media onslaught is Vanessa Veerland.
Hey, Vanessa.
Thanks very much.
Facebook living as we speak.
Eitan's still off, and we're sending her good thoughts. Hopefully she'll be back soon.
Yes.
And during the show, please join in the conversation and then send in your questions, comments, and threats to at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we'll share them with the audience in real time. And please don't forget to stop by the website at songtalk.ca to find out how you can be a guest on this very show. And we are very excited tonight because our guests are all the way from Calgary. They are the Command Sisters, award-winning songwriters and official Martin guitar artists. Although the Command Sisters have toured internationally, they have been featured on Guitar World and have received nods from the likes of the NME. And their most recent achievement has been their move from Alberta to Toronto. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Welcome.
Thank you. We're so excited to be here.
Now, you guys are actually sisters.
Yes.
So now, does that make the songwriting process a bit easier, do you think?
It makes it different, for sure. We actually started out writing, I'd say, very much on our own, very much separate. I think I started first, and then Sarah jumped in, but we were always separate.
Up until actually probably recently, over the last year, we actually really started writing together.
Yeah.
We used to, that was our thing when we got going, was just totally separate. But then I think we realized, you know, we had both very different writing styles, which kind of goes into the theme of also co-writing. Sometimes you can write amazing songs on your own, and I think that's a great skill to have. But sometimes being open to collaborating with people, which in our case was our family members, ended up being a really great thing to do because we both have different styles. So
we're very different people.
Do you guys just like jam it out and see what happens, or does one of you come forward with something of an idea about a direction a song's going to go in? How does it work, or is it kind of a little bit of both?
Well, with our project that we ended up recording in New York, was we were actually working with producers, so they would do kind of the instrumental aspect, and then Cheryl and I would write the lyrics.
Lyrics and melody on top.
Like, top line.
Yeah.
So the producers would actually write the music beds.
Yeah, we would kind of go, like, in the moment.
In the moment, very spontaneous. It's different every time. I think sometimes Sarah and I, you know, we jam on chords or whatever, which is totally fine. And then sometimes I'll bring something in and then Sarah will say, hey, add this, you know, change that. Because she has like great spontaneous ideas that I might not come up with on my own, right?
It's funny, the one song that that we were going to sing today, Low Profile, my sister actually wrote the whole song and I was jamming to it in the bathroom while she was downstairs playing it. And I just kept having this melody in my head. I was like, this is so cool. And then I run down, I'm so excited. I'm like, Charlotte, just play that bridge version and let me sing something. And then I ended up singing this thing that ended up becoming the bridge and ended up actually rearranging the chorus because that was originally going to be the verse. And it was totally her song. And I love the song so much. But just sometimes collaborating.
It's, that's great.
It's exciting.
Cool. Yeah,
that's great.
And you guys have been at this for quite a while.
Oh, yes, a long time. It feels a long time.
You guys said earlier before the show you've been singing together a long time. When did you, when how old were you guys when you first wrote your first song?
Well, okay, like, I used to write poetry when I was, like, I started around, like, eight or nine. I think I wrote my first song around 12.
Okay.
We've been singing together since we were 9 and 6, technically.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. For those that don't have the benefit of seeing you in the studio with us, can you give us an idea how old you actually are?
Okay.
Ish? You know, within a couple of...
Yeah.
I'm 21.
19.
So, yeah. Yes. Wow. The last time I was co-hosting, I think the artist was...
Jules?
Been at it for a long time.
Really?
They started in the 60s.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, so I'm thinking...
Oh, wow. You know,
okay.
Sometimes it scares me, though. Yeah. You meet some, like, really young kids, and I should be careful with the word kid, because I'm still a kid, but you know, kids, and they've, you know, done all of the Royal Conservatory guitar, piano, and trumpet, maybe, and they're, like, 14.
Yeah.
I'm not
Oh, yes.
I'm not that cool yet.
Yeah.
I always wondered about, you know, when you're... working with family members, because it's, I mean, there's in a band, there's always like sort of a, can be a fiery dynamic, but like working with your members of your family, I mean, there's lots of sort of dynamics happening in there. Is that, how do you guys work with that? Is that a positive thing or?
I definitely think it's absolutely a positive thing. Like everybody asks us, you know, do you guys fight? And honestly, like we've had like minor, like, little arguments over maybe it's clothes, like, oh, you're wearing my shirt, you know, like, but like, honestly, we don't really fight. Like,
I think even in a musical dynamic, it's kind of taught us loyalty in a way, just because we always know that, like, in a few minutes later, we're going to respect each other and like forgive each other. And even for me, when it comes to
we have to be professional on stage.
If we're expanding our team, or even if we're meeting different songwriters and we're thinking of like an aspect, I know we've definitely become really loyal people because we really appreciate, I guess, because we're always working with each other.
We've had a few young guests on the show, Jules and what was that one? Callie Deacon, 14 and 13, and she was 15 the last time she came on, and she used the term "momager."
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, like, how do your parents factor into your development or management or anything like that?
I definitely think it's crucial to have supportive parents. They always said, you know, we're going to support you no matter what. I was really into sports growing up, so they were always doing that. My dad was a really big hockey guy growing up, so his dad always drove him to his games. Luckily, Cheryl and I had a love for the business side of it, so we were always studying. Like, when I was in high school, I'd read, like, branding books, and my sister was always busy on the creative side, so we were kind of yin and yang in that situation. So when it came a time for, I was at that age where people would be asking, are your parents managing you? I wanted to make sure that I knew all the business stuff, so we definitely, you know, learned a lot, which is really essential. When you're young, there's a lot of people that can try to tell you to even write songs a certain way, and when you know your business and your brand, then it's easy just to be like, yeah, this is what I'm doing.
But absolutely, we have such supportive parents, and like, since we did start so young, it was like crucial to have them supporting us, you know, getting our feet off the ground at that young age until we could get to the point where, okay, we can take this completely over.
Right on.
What is your writing schedule like? Because you're we have a lot of people who are, you know, doing it on the side, you know, they're trying to build up their career, and you're pretty established, really. You know, you've said to you that you lived in Nashville for a while, and so now what is your writing situation? Are you writing every day or
I guess it's different. Like I try to write every day. Like, I'll try to sit down at my piano or with my guitar, and it's not even such a scheduled thing. I used to kind of do that, and now I just kind of, as the feeling evokes me, I think. Like, I like to go and, like, it has to be a creative thing. You know, I don't want to ever force myself, because I find when I force myself, it doesn't come naturally. But, yeah, I love writing. It's my favorite thing to do, pretty much. So, yeah, pretty much every day, every other day, I'm sitting down and trying to create something, for sure.
Where do you get your ideas from?
Oh, gosh. Ideas come from anywhere. Like, I find it so all over the map. Like, it could be a book I've read, a line from a movie, the movie itself, something that I'm feeling, or maybe something that somebody else is experiencing that I know, and then I'll kind of, like, take it into first person and put it into my own version, really. It's just, like, anything. Obviously, things that I've experienced, because that's, like, the most inspiring it seems to be, but yeah.
Are you keeping, like, do you have, like, your ideas? Like, you have, like, a notebook that you're keeping them in? Or are you keeping them into your phone, or?
Yes, currently my phone, probably not a good idea, because I've dropped my phone in a pool before and lost, like, all of my notes and voice memos. Happened in Las Vegas last year. Worst idea ever. So I'm getting better. Yeah, definitely, like, using a notebook, print things off, put it in a hard drive.
You can always use an app like Google Docs or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then it synchronizes on the cloud. And so if you lose your phone, it's all backed up for you.
Such a smart idea. Don't be me.
I used to think that if a song was good enough, you wouldn't have to remember. You wouldn't have to write it down. You'd remember
it. Yeah.
And boy, I learned that was, that's not
that's
true.
Not true.
No, it's not.
The older I get, the less true it is.
You know, I am still terrible at that. I don't actually write anything down until it's actually finished.
Oh, wow.
And I have about, like, I'm working on, like, 20 or 30 songs at a time, and they're in my head, and every now and then I sort of forget them, and then I kind of relearn them and go, oh, yeah. But if I ever fall down and hit my head, I'm screwed.
See, I'm the opposite. This phone is filled, I suspect a lot of writers are with either musical ideas that are 10 seconds long or more full than that, or, like you say, a line that you hear just randomly.
Totally.
That's excellent.
Absolutely.
And I think that's sometimes what makes a songwriter. I think to be a songwriter, you have to call yourself a songwriter. It's a weird thing. All you need. I'm a songwriter. But what makes you good sometimes is that your ear is tuned to hearing those sorts of things. It's either a particular phrase that catches you or a rhythm.
A lot of times
it's a rhythm that hits your the way the words come out. And being open to that, I think, is really – that means you're writing all the time, really. In the back of your mind, you're writing all the time.
Yeah, you may not even be actively – I find, like, I'm not – I may not even sit down at my piano maybe – all the time, but, like, in my head, it's always, the wheel is always spinning,
you're
always
generating ideas.
You do it subconsciously sometimes. You don't even realize it.
I find sometimes our best songs came from titles that we thought of. That always seems to give the direction, and sometimes if we've had a really exciting theme, it's really easier to think of creative words, and somehow it just creates the ambience and the melody, and it just, I find for me, that's how I love to write, is I don't really write about my life because my life is pretty boring, but I just, when you think of a cool title, like, we were with a friend, and just this title came to me, it was like Lonely Lullaby, and it just sounded really cool, and the track was, like, super ambient and,
like, edgy and, like, a little bit dark.
And it was easy to kind of paint the picture from the theme that we had.
Yeah, totally.
Well, let's hear
a song.
Let's hear a song. So the first song you want to do is
Back to You.
Back to You. Now, do you remember how this one came together?
I do. Do you want to talk? Okay.
Well, let me say one thing. This one was cool because he was in a songwriting camp in New York, the first time we'd actually ever co-written together.
Yeah.
So really scary. We'd never done that. And we had this guy, and I always think about this every time we go into co-write. He didn't even really write the song.
He didn't want to step in and interfere with what we were doing. But what he did was he just added this energy, this sort of, he was very positive. And we've been in co-writes before where it's like, you don't have that and it's way harder. Like, just that one person sort of bringing the energy up.
He was like the cheerleader. And he kept saying, let's write a song about coming back to someone. Like, let's do, and it has to be like peppy and there needs to be some O's and just like a lot of fun. Like, you hear a bunch of drums. And it was weird. Like, we'd never written a song like that in our life. And just to have this positive direction and title ended up forming this song that is going to be our first release now.
Yeah.
Very cool. Great. All right, let's hear it.
Okay, sick. Okay. Are we ready? Are we doing this?
Yes.
Okay.
The song is called Back to You.
Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Tell me what you want, baby, anything you say. Whatever it is, darling, I'll find a way.
way, way, away. I'm missing your love, I don't wanna be alone. I need to feel your touch, need to hear you on the phone. Oh, 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 bring me home. I will build a bridge back to you. Hey, maybe climb a mountain or two. Oh, 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 right back to you. I will cross the big ocean blue. Hey, fly a rocket over the moon. Oh, oh. Throughout the night, I anytime. Stay right where you are, I'm coming right away. As fast as I can, cause I need to see your face. Hey, 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 I'm on my way. I will build a bridge back to you. Hey, maybe climb a mountain or two. Oh, 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 oh. Up across the big ocean blue. Hey, fly a rocket over the moon. Oh, 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 oh. Right back to you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Right back to you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Right back to you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Right back to you. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Miles and miles away, miles and miles away. But you're still my babe, but you're still my babe. Whatever I do, whatever I do, coming back to you, coming back to you.
Tell me what you want, baby, anything you say. Whatever it is, darling, I'll find a way. Way, 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 I'm on my way. Right back to you, ooh, ooh, ooh. 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 Right back to you.
Woo. And that was
thanks.
It was Back to You by the Command Sisters here on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, and Patrick on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. What a brilliant song. And
thank you.
Really wonderfully crafted. You can tell that you guys have really paid attention to the craft. I mean, it's well worth, if you're a beginning songwriter, is to actually listen to that song, because this is great. You don't have any studio stuff. This is just you on the guitar.
Right.
And I think you can tell when you have a great song, because sometimes technology can make you think you have a great song.
Oh, yes.
And then you
do you hear that.
Patrick Ray.
You technology and suddenly you don't have a good song. You just got like, oh, well, it needs to have that drum loop for it to work. And you're going, well, that's not a good song.
Yeah, but, yeah, I totally understand that.
Patrick, what'd you think?
No, I was just going to say that you can't, there's nothing, you're not hiding behind anything right now. You're mm-hmm. just, you're just performing the song with an acoustic guitar and a couple of unbelievable vocals, and it really shows. It's funny what you can do with two chords and a killer melody, you know.
It's crazy, yeah.
Is it just two chords?
Just two chords, wow. The whole yeah. way, yeah.
Even the bridge is the same chord?
It's yeah. the same chord.
You just changed
the melody. I didn't even realize.
We gave ourselves such a hard time when we first wrote it, because they kind of put down this bass when with the recording, and when we had to learn it on guitar, we were like, oh my gosh, this is two chords. This is like, we were so anti the two chord girls. We were playing like C, G, and D over yeah, and yeah. over, but it ended up being one of our favorite songs, so I don't know.
Here's really the thing. Like, we're always talking about changes on the show. Like, you want the song to evolve, you want the song to change. And there's so many dimensions to make up a song. There's the harmony, which is the chords. There's the melody. There's the rhythm. There's the lyrics and all that sort of stuff. You guys have such an exceptional ability with the melody. And the melody is really what drives this thing. So if it's two chords, who cares? Like, the melody is fantastic, so it doesn't matter, right?
Well, it just seemed to work,
I think. And also because you have...
Well, that's just it, too.
You have really clearly delineated verses, choruses, and a bridge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so it's like a two-chord song can be just kind of going back and forth and not doing anything. But you actually had very clear musical... I mean, you had this great lift in the chorus. You had a really long chorus, which is interesting, too. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, I think we're making too big of the fact that it's only two chords. Really, I mean, the fact is, it's just a great song.
It's just a great song. Yeah.
You know, and how many chords doesn't really matter. You could have 30 chords. It could be a really crappy song. You know?
I'd love to hear a 30 chord song.
No, but that's what I mean. If this was a two chord song where the melody went nowhere, then it would be inferior.
Right. Yes.
Right. But because you guys have the catchy melodies, and
you got the sibling harmonies going. Scary. The way you were going from a harmony, you drop to an octave, and then back to a harmony. Oh my gosh.
She's crazy.
Really well chosen harmonies too. I mean, they really built it the right place.
Yeah.
And I mean, people say, I can do harmony, but doing harmony well so that it builds the song is such a talent in and of itself. Interesting. I loved how there was you had a short bridge, which is just about four lines, and then you just had a reprise of your verse melody, which you did in a nice soft version. And it was great because you started off soft.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of bands, I remember when I started working with a producer, you know, he said, you know, none of your songs, this was with a band, none of your songs have any dynamics.
Oh.
Because everyone started playing on, you know, one, and we all stopped playing at the end. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't realize that, you can stop playing for a bit. And your stuff actually had a lot of dynamics, and that's really important, you know?
Yeah, and that's something we've definitely learned, obviously, doing it for so long, that how much of a difference dynamics actually really make.
Yeah.
We've even kind of changed that over the last year or so. Like, even for us, like, we were so used to just playing through sets and playing long sets, and
you get used to the songs
covers. Yeah. And when you play songs over and over, sometimes they feel like they lose their magic, and sometimes maybe how you bring some of that magic in is by switching it up a little bit and kind of breaking down at one part. And I think it's almost a really great way to fall back in love with a song that you wrote a little while ago.
Before we went on the air, I hope this is okay, we were talking about the difference between pop versus country songwriting. Mm-hmm. And we've had the benefit of hearing the produced version of that song, which is very much in a, can I call it modern pop sort of vein?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Even the way they just performed it, to me, is a modern pop.
Well, but I could also hear it in a country.
Absolutely.
So I'd be curious as to how... You know, what the difference is? How
Absolutely.
What is it? What makes that pop versus country? Or is
production
there a difference?
Production is everything.
I think what
song
I'm learning
is the same.
Yeah, you know what I've noticed? There's a lot of songs out right now. Like, I don't know, what's that song? That new Selena Gomez DJ collaboration? It Ain't Me. It's a new Selena Gomez and Kygo song. It starts out with acoustic guitar, and it's almost very indie/country. So I find country and pop are very much like, it's working and blending together. It's all about the production, because the melody can almost be anything for any kind of song. It's just how the production sort of leans. You know, us obviously playing this song acoustically, it definitely brought back with the harmonies, like that super like country, like chill kind of vibe. But then it's actually super pop produced, right?
Yeah, probably if you slow down the tempo slightly and put a bit of a swing into the rhythm, it would start sounding a little country.
Yeah.
I wonder about the so-called millennial whoop thing, like the ooh oohs.
I don't know.
I don't listen to a lot of country, so I'm not sure how much it shows up in country, but it's showing up all over the place in pop.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is very true.
It's funny. Like, this was the first song that we'd done that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was almost a joke at the beginning. Yeah. We were like, we need to add the ooze. And it's so funny.
But it just fit the song.
It fit the song. Yeah. And over time, this became people's favorites when we played it. And I think people just love to join in. Even it doesn't even have to be new. If it's even just a sing-along part where the crowd can feel involved almost in the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a special moment. And it's funny how we almost did it just because we're like, we need to throw an ooh in there. And ended up becoming a thing.
But people love those kind of simple little riffs, you know, that they can connect with and sort of sing along to.
Well, we had a guest host on the show a couple of weeks ago, Carmen Toth, and she proposed the thing that her dad apparently always told her, is that you always need to have a lyric in there that a drunk person can sing along to. So if you're going to have the ooze, chances are you got that need fulfilled.
We got a tweet in from Sharon. How much fun it must be to write and sing with your sister.
Oh.
You're as close as a sister. Thank you, Sharon.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Thank you. That is so true.
I wanted to make a point. One thing I really appreciated, because when we've done this a lot now, so you really appreciate the small things I think only other songwriters would be, is that you have two choruses, and your choruses are long.
Mm-hmm.
But your third chorus, instead of redoing the whole chorus, you just kind of do the real main hook, which is the right back to you.
Right.
And then you riffed on that, which I thought was a really nice little detail.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like it's, as opposed to just doing the whole chorus again, which I think people would be, you know, it's, And the way you actually, even on the last how you kind of brought that up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that you had hooks upon hooks upon hooks, which I yeah. thought was just so... Which
it's
just
crazy
so tasty.
How much you can sort of change and, like, alter just, like, tiny little melody changes and then obviously layering. That's why I love having such a sing with, because then you can, like, layer different vocal parts that just... It just adds a different world to the song, really.
Oh, yeah.
From your point of view, guys, what's the purpose of the bridge?
Purpose of the bridge? Is that,
What does it do for the song?
The kind of the rapping kind of like tell that part.
Yeah. Yeah. Generally, you mean?
Well, generally or the song specifically. Even.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard, which was totally not the case in this case, but I've heard that they say the bridge should always be like the hookiest part of the song because it just brings people back into like you hear it and it's like super exciting and then it comes back. It's like a really
short section.
The bridge
only happens once in a song, right?
Once. And in this case, I don't know, like, I found this song came together so quickly. I think we wrote in, like, half an hour. Like, it was like that. Mm-hmm. We ended up writing, like, two or three songs that day in this songwriting camp, and everything was just so quick. And I think that bridge just came, like, spontaneously, and I don't know, it just felt like...
We just
like,
didn't want anything too overpowering, because the song already had all the parts it needed. It already went, like... It had that high, perfect, lifting chorus, and we just felt like anything super complicated would take away from the song because the song needed to be simple. So it just sort of was like, it was just something fun we threw in there.
Just an extra texture of
funness.
Yeah, because the feeling I had about the bridge is that it to me. I mean, if I were offered the opportunity to collaborate with you, I would probably suggest take the bridge and actually kind of. Keep the same kind of rhythm of the song going, but really stretch out a lyric with a longer legato melody, and actually change the lyric so it's a little bit more introspective, a little bit more because a lot of the song is, flying right back to you. I'll build a bridge back to you. I'm missing your love, all that sort of stuff, which is all very positive. But maybe something a little bit more reflective and a little more internal.
Yeah,
this is the way. The whole song is about the way the eye is feeling, but maybe something a little bit more.
At the beginning we had
And because it's so short, you could be in and out of there. And then when the chorus hits again, your comment, Sarah, about how the bridge should be the hookiest part of the song, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the relief before you get back to the hookiest part of the song.
Uh-huh.
And so when you come back to the hookiest part of the song, then it's like a double wow factor because you haven't heard it for a while and you've actually been relieved.
I remember in this case, with this hook, because the song was so repetitive, we wanted something that almost kind of people didn't expect.
Yeah, which like, is true, actually.
Yeah, which
do that,
it does do that. It does
do that. I think some people really feel that lyrically the chorus should be very kind of distinct from the rest of the song, the bridge.
Yeah.
And, I think there's different kinds of songwriting. I mean, there's one country artist I remember saying that he actually didn't like songs that were too songwritery.
Yes.
Because, and it's true. I think Blair mentioned this, is that, as songwriters, we get so much into the craft and the fine little bits and doing all that stuff that sometimes you get away from just doing the direct stuff into the heart and you write too much in the brain. So it's an interesting...
Yeah, there's always that balance.
Yeah, totally.
Well. All right. Yeah. Mr. Patrick Ballantyne, would you like to tell us something? Yes, you.
Oh, okay, yes. For those just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, and me on CJRU, 1280 AM in Toronto, and streamed on songtalk.ca/live-stream. Tonight, our guest is
the Command Sisters.
The Excellent Command Sisters. Can I change the name of the band? The Excellent Command Sisters.
I like that.
Don't forget, we'd love to hear from you, so tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio or via email at feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts in real time. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. Coming up on Song Talk Radio in coming weeks, we have on April 18th, Performing Rights. Is that the name of the act, or are we going to be talking
about performance rights? No, we're going to be talking about performance rights.
Well, I'm going to listen to that one.
Yeah.
And April 25th, Scrape, which is the name of the band.
That's the name of the band. Yes, it's an industrial act, actually.
Really?
So, yeah.
I think that's going to be our first industrial guest.
Yes.
Chainsaws and metal and stuff.
Yeah, and almost, tin cans and everything. Yeah.
And if you're in the Toronto area and want to come see Scrape in the studio, no, I shouldn't say that. If you're in the Toronto area, please join us for our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Thursday, April 20th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transact Club. It's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details. We should have a songtalk.ca/hookup, too.
That's true. Yeah. Musician's dating service.
Yeah, there you go.
hey!
Not a bad idea.
Trademark. Patent pending. Thank you, Patrick. So I had a neat experience over the past week. I actually went and saw the Book of Mormon.
Oh, yeah. Wow. How was that?
Which
was
is
that?
A fan. Like, I... for those people who've listened to us before, they know I'm a huge musical fan.
Yeah.
I've said I've seen a lot of musical theater for a straight guy, and this is actually one of the best modern musicals. I mean, like, everyone loves the South Pacifics.
Is this guy's from South Park?
It is.
The writers? Yeah, okay.
Really? No way.
And the thing, the songs, like, I saw La La Land, and I thought I was so disappointed by the quality of the songs. The quality of the songs in the Book of Mormon are outstanding.
Really? Mm-hmm.
They're full of they're funny and complicated.
Wow,
it is great. I really recommend it. Are you guys much of a musical theater?
We actually grew up like kind of watching musicals, listening to musicals. Like, I have a thing for Disney songs. That's going to sound so lame, but like, I just love.
No.
That's what we grew up listening to. You know, it's just sort of inspiring, and it's cool to hear about, you know, how people actually write these songs. Like, it's because it's very different from like modern pop, but it's totally like its own genre. And I think I had seen an advertisement for that play when we were in New York, but we had never went to any of them. But I'd love to go.
It's great. It's what's an interesting thing is actually looking at the subject matter, because the subject matter they deal with is actually quite raw, and you know, like they talk about a lot of bad stuff that happens in Africa, and they're not really sugarcoating it, and it's really in your face. And I think a lot of people the first 10 minutes they kind of go, what the heck, because there's like cursing and all sorts of but it's actually the message is actually quite nice.
Wow, yeah, that would be very interesting. Yeah. I think, what was the last play I saw? One of my favorites that I ever saw was Phantom of the Opera, which I saw in Las Vegas, 2009 or something. It was years ago, but it was so amazing.
Do you remember who the Phantom was?
I can't. Gosh, that was like too long ago.
Yeah, it's true. See, my 11-year-old daughter right now is obsessed with, almost 12 years old, by the way, is obsessed with Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
That's a great movie. I saw it.
Around
it's
the
great.
House,
did you see the new movie?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it is really amazing. Yeah.
It is
speaking
really,
of my
really
daughter,
good.
Before I left the house today, I played her your stuff. I said, because she's your audience in many respects, right?
Yeah.
She loves, for example, the Selena Gomez song that you mentioned, It Ain't Me, is one of her favorites right now. But she loved it. She loved what you guys
really?
Were doing. Yeah, she
so
thought
nice.
It was really good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. Tell her we say thanks.
Now, you guys were telling us before the show about a course you went to. It was in Scarborough or something? Or?
Yes.
We took Canada's Music Incubator, which is run at Coalition Music in Scarborough area. They also have Tempo there, which is a music organization. So they do a lot of stuff and basically teaches up-and-coming artists more of the business side, so about different roles in the music industry, how to, you know, monetize your business.
Yeah, that's why we came to Toronto from Alberta, is that program, which ran for 2 months. I think we got here in Toronto in, like, August last year, and the program went till October, and then we never planned on staying in Toronto, but that's sort of when, like, opportunities kept coming up, and then we fell into our lease, and it just, like, all this stuff happened at once. But, yeah, we took that program, and it was definitely amazing.
So was there a songwriting component in any of that stuff, or was it all the business side of things?
It definitely songwriting. There was a lot of, like, songwriting challenges that they had come up during the program. Like, we would co-write with different artists that were also taking the class, but they would pair us with, like, completely opposite genre artists.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be
like,
cool.
Like, there was, like, a...
Jazz artists. Soul artists.
Yeah, R&B. It was all over the map. And so it was always very interesting what we would come up with, because it was so different.
And I found we were songwriting a lot, too, coming back to our apartment, just because when you're always in such the business kind of headspace, sometimes you take... the creative part for granted, and then when
you forget.
Come back to that,
yeah,
it feels,
it's true. It's true.
Like a breath of fresh air, really.
Yeah, so the kind of energy that we were just talking about, our meetup group that we hold at the Transac. Yeah. And last time I was there, a couple of people actually told me once the meetup was over, everyone was just kind of mingling. It's like, I feel like going home right now and writing a song.
Yeah, totally. It inspires you in a weird way.
Yeah.
Well, I always find the show really inspiring because every time we get together, you come up with a new approach to writing songs or a new approach to writing lyrics, and it's, you know, I've got so much stuff in my brain, I'm going to have to take like 4 years off
to start recording some of this stuff, Phil.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down.
Well, no, I do record it. I just don't finish it off.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
There's that too. Should we hear another song?
Yeah, let's do that.
Sweet. Awesome.
So this one's called
Low Profile? Yes.
And you remember how this one came together?
Yeah, I do. This song, it was very, very random. I had this sort of simple lyric idea of rhyming the words low profile with lifestyle, I think. Just this sort of...
they don't really rhyme.
Not really, but just this sort of general phrase of, you know, you've been trying to keep a low profile. Like,
right.
I painted this very quick scenario in my head of, like, this person who is, like, very secretive and very mysterious, and you just want to get to know them, but they're hiding themselves from you. They're almost holding back from you. And just this sort of scenario, and I sat down at the piano and just, like, started playing these unique chords, and I had never, like, written a song like in that style before. It was very, very lo-fi, very funky, very unique. And so I think this is the one that Sarah jumped in and she created the bridge. And she just, I think I remember when I first sang the hook of the song, she said, that's the chorus, Charlotte. That's the chorus. And I was like, no, it's not. For some reason, I heard it as a verse. And I almost was going to give up on the song, but she finally said, like, you have to make that the chorus. Trust me.
Girl. That's the chorus.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, you know what? Fine. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write it as if that was a chorus. And that's when I finished the song because I was having a hard time finishing it.
Wow, that's a great
So she
time.
Was right. So it's mm-hmm. very interesting when you have that outside like opinion, like outside your own to like really think of things that you wouldn't have been able to on your own, right? Yeah. Like it was really cool.
Are you starting off mostly by coming up sort of like ideas or lyric ideas and then doing the music or...
It's different every time. Like, a lot of the times it is, I find lyric with melody. But this one definitely started from kind of like an almost title lyric idea. And then once I sat down on the piano and I heard the chords, it was like, okay, it was like easy. And then everything else came at the same time.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the writing in this one kind of continued when we got into the studio with it. Because this isn't one that we wrote in the studio out of that songwriting.
Yeah, it was just at our house.
It was something that we'd written beforehand, so it was almost kind of cool to see how much on the production side you can kind of transform it. And I know we always love, like, slap bass and kind of, like, Michael Jackson style, and I was like, oh, I'd love to hear that in this song. And when we recorded it, we ended up having a lot of that, so it's kind of cool to see how much, music-wise, it can change.
You can bring it to life, really.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool. All right.
Awesome. Sweet.
Yeah.
Ready?
Okay.
You were trying to keep a low profile, living that lifestyle. No one knows about it, and no one knows about it. You called me up in the middle of the night, told me to come by. Wanna talk about it, wanna talk about it. Sorry if I'm coming out too strong, but I couldn't get it wrong, cause it's been you all along. Lately, baby, you've been taking off, don't know how to cope at all. When you're here and then you're not, you've got your share of secrets, got my share of mine. I wanna let you see into my curious mind. We see each other frequent, we should cross that line. Oh, don't you think it's time? You've been trying to keep a low profile, living that lifestyle. No one knows about it, no one knows about it. You call me up in love the night, tell me to come by. Wanna talk about it, wanna talk about it. See ya a little more on the weekend, cause you've been walking a lot less. Now I might have a clear target, you're good. Could I keep it to yourself? Oh, but can we get honest?
'Cause I see through the innocence. You've got your share of secrets, got my share of mine. I wanna get beneath what we both hide behind. If all the odds are even, let's take up the fight. Yeah, don't you think it's right? You've been trying to keep a low profile, living that lifestyle. No one knows about it, no one knows about it. You call me up in love the night, tell me to come by. Wanna talk about it, wanna talk about it. I can keep it a low profile, yeah. You've been trying to keep a low profile, living that lifestyle. No one knows about it, no one knows about it. You call me up in love the night, tell me to come by. Wanna talk about it, wanna talk about it. Keeping a low profile.
That was Low Profile by the Command Sisters on Song Talk Radio with Bruce Neal and Phil and Patrick on CJRU 1280 in Toronto. Another brilliant song. And
thank you.
I loved about, like, this was unexpected. You had a bridge there, which was really unexpected, and you ended on the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
So, weird. Now I know we've had...
And they started on the chorus.
Yes. Well, did they?
I think so.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I guess
did,
that's true.
Actually,
Yeah.
So it's an interesting structure. One question I did want to ask.
Yeah.
Because your chorus starts off with you've been trying to keep that low profile. And there's this really neat rhythm.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of hooky. But instead of repeating that, you have sort of a different line where you call me up in the middle of the night. Was there a reason why you didn't choose to just repeat that sort of hooky line?
I think I was just, it was just something that came to me in the moment.
It tells a bit of a story too.
Yeah, definitely. This one, this song definitely is like kind of like that sort of dark, moody, like storytelling song. And I think that everything I wrote in this song just happened like that fast. Like
right.
I just wrote it like I didn't try to overthink it. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing there. I'll have to listen back and see what. I didn't think it was different, but I'll have to.
I actually really like that line.
Well, actually, maybe you could. Do you want to try the chorus and actually just repeating that line just to see what it's like?
Yeah.
Do it live on. See what the.
Sure.
You've been trying to keep a low profile, living that lifestyle. No one knows about it. No one knows about it. You call me up in love the night. Oh, yay. Okay.
So he's suggesting instead of you call me up middle of the night, you just repeat, you've been keeping
a low profile. You've been trying to keep a low profile, living that lifestyle. No one knows about it. No one knows about it. You've been trying to keep a low profile, living that lifestyle. No one knows about it. No one knows about it.
Well, because I thought... Like, you would still do the, tell me to come by, want to talk about it, want to talk about it. Because I thought that was a really nice change.
Okay.
But just sort of bringing that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're suggesting to do it sort of three times?
No.
Like, do the structure three times?
No. No, so just instead of doing the, you called me up in the middle of the night. And by the way, we forgot to mention you can actually get the lyrics on the show notes on Song Talk Radio.
Songtalk.ca.
Instead of you call me up in the middle of the night, you just repeat the, you've been trying to keep that low profile, but still say, tell me to come by, want to talk about it, want
to
talk about it.
Oh, I see.
I think it kind of works. I kind of like the you call me up in the middle of the night, because you kind of call me up in the middle of the night, tell me to come by. That's kind of a pairing that kind of works together, because you've been trying to keep a low profile, tell me to come by. That doesn't.
It was
interesting. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Even that lyric, you've been trying to keep a low profile, when we were first singing it, it was kind of legato, and we had this awesome guy named Kyle Ancura, who was an incredible vocalist, and we actually met him in the incubator program and said, you know, it has this percussive element to it.
Yeah.
You should try to kind of change the way you were singing it. So before it might have been, you would try to keep a low profile, and it kind of sounded like that. And then we went, you would try to keep a low profile.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
And it almost, like, the way we sing it now, like, sounds a lot like the slap bass in the recording, like, legit.
Yeah.
Well, it's been like Michael Jackson, too. He's got a bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely. It really changed even how a song sounds by how you pronounce the words.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But even this song, like the last one, Back to you, right? Is very rhythmic. I mean, the rhythm of the words is as important as I'm hearing it as the words are themselves, as the melody is. It's like,
well, that's part of the melody.
It's
the rhythm
amazing
of it, right?
How that the rhythm is so
prevalent.
It.
Yeah,
and when you add the harmony in, it becomes like an insane combination. I absolutely have nothing to criticize about that song.
No.
It sounds to me like it should be on the radio.
No, yeah, definitely.
It sounds so. I mean, just even that version of it is just so. Again, you really appreciate how good the song is performing it just with the two of you that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually really impressed with the same thing, but not just the rhythm of it, but even the placement of the words. Like, there's not a syllable that's kind of, you know, here or there, or off beat, or off, you know, like the right kind of thing. Like it's all very highly crafted, and everything really falls into place.
What's kind of nice is actually some people write really kind of poetic lines, like, you know, Leonard Cohen he writes very poetry kind of based stuff. Where you have, like, it's very kind of sort
direct.
Of plain speak.
Yeah,
you know, like see you a little more on the weekend because you've been working a lot less.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, it's kind of I'm using the word mundane, but not in the pejorative sense.
Yeah.
But it's kind of really direct, and it's not, you know, you're not trying to be too fancy.
Right.
You know, which is kind of really nice.
It's interesting. Like, I've been inspired by a lot of songs that are like that lately. Like, I don't know if you know Here by Alessia Cara. It's just very conversational, and I find a lot of songs that are coming out right now are very conversational, and like, I'm a poetry person. That's how I grew up, started writing poetry. I appreciate, like, something that's, like, divine and profound, but, like, sometimes just I love writing simple songs. Like, you're just talking to someone.
I found once we started doing more of a pop direction, it was interesting when we first grew up writing, it was more of a rootsy folk style, so you would get really into the lyrical content and the words you were saying, and it was definitely a lot deeper than the stuff that we're putting out now.
Are you finding is that kind of a youth demographic thing at all?
I find it, for us, it was almost just as hard or more to write direct. Pop songs are very difficult to write, and I think sometimes pop songs don't get enough credit to be able to say something
if
that's
powerful.
If they
were easy, then everybody would be doing it.
Yeah,
to be able to say something that's powerful in a very simple way that you can also sing along to, that's under 3 minutes and 20 seconds, that has all the hooks in all the right places with a lyrical content that stands out, was actually much harder than writing stuff that
which is why I really like that you call me up in the middle of the night, want to tell me to come by. I really like that line because it adds just a little bit of extra richness to the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to repeating.
Yeah, and that's the thing I like about pop songs is, like, they're very simple. You know, a lot of times it is just like you're saying something to someone's face, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Just really simple.
Even country music is amazing too, because every line is often so clever, and it goes by like a snap of a finger, and the song is over, and it's just,
and you don't realize.
Like,
you have to really take the time to listen.
It's incredible what they do in such a simple way. But
each genre
has
its own, like, I find, special trait, and you just have to, like, take the time and actually, like, appreciate what that is.
Right.
Yeah. Really cool.
Well, I think, you know, writing simply is actually much harder than writing complex.
Yeah.
And actually writing really direct stuff is even, I think, that much harder because I've, you know, people send me a lot of stuff and, you know, sometimes I'm never sure what they really want to hear from me. Do they want me to be encouraging or do they want me to pick it apart or what they want? And, you know, there's this one song I was listening to and the production was great and the singing was friggin' fantastic.
Yeah.
And he was trying to do something really straight ahead, but it was just clumsy.
Oh, okay.
And it just sounded kind of awkward and weird. But not weird in an interesting way, like in a David Byrne kind of way. You know, it was just kind of awkward and weird. And it's a really tough thing to master, to walk,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you guys have managed to, I think, really master it, which I thought
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, it's taken practice. And it seems like it's something that sort of came naturally, probably because I was listening to a lot of songs like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see what's like, what works and then what doesn't, right?
But I think also listening to the songs in the style that you want to write is really important too.
Absolutely, we've seen
it's almost like if you say positive words, you start living more of a positive life. It kind of has an effect on you. I heard a producer at NAMM actually say when he's wanting to produce a track, he listens to 10 tracks that he wants to produce like to get him in the headspace of what he wants it to sound like. And I found with us, I listened to a lot of R&B and rap and soul music. So when I would write, a lot of people say you have way more R&B tendencies when you write. And sometimes when my sister writes, you can kind of see our two styles kind of blend together. And it's interesting how that can affect.
I'm curious how much editing you guys do. Like it sounds like stuff comes together fairly easily, but have you guys had songs that you've kind of labored over?
Yeah, I definitely think, like, there's always going to be those few that, like, it seems like it just takes forever. Like, you know, I'll write a song and maybe I'll start it one day and finish it the next day. It could be the same day, it could be a week later, but there's always that one that's, like, it could take months. And I think the important thing is to remember, like, not to force it. You know, if it doesn't happen right away, it doesn't happen right away. Like, and I always want to make sure songs are perfect. Like, I'm not just going to try to slap it together. And I find lyrics are the one thing that I'll be really picky over. For our album that we did in New York, I know, like, we wrote the songs and then we spent, like, a couple days where we just sat down and, like, really just, like, picked apart the lyrics. We were really picky. We worked together and just like really dove into that.
I think it's really important to use placeholders, and I really stress on that because especially in co-writing situations, you should never be picky the first day. Like if you want it to be an amazing song, just make sure the melody is really freaking strong, and then
you can change the lyrics anytime.
But once you have the melody set, there's like it's almost like trying to rip off super glue. It just doesn't go away.
I find if you're too picky right away,
you kill the vibe.
Yeah.
Like you need to just get that energy out and then just pick it apart later. Otherwise, you can't create. Because if you're picky, you can't be picky and creative at the same time.
It's
almost like starting
dating someone and then the first date you're like going off their life story and checking their criminal record and, like, trying to pick them apart.
Always save the criminal record check for later.
Well, I gotta say, maybe the criminal record check may not be a bad idea.
Might not be a bad idea.
You know, maybe first off.
But then you kind of, you know, kill the energy at the beginning and you lose the magic. And I find it goes with songs. Like, we've had some co-writes where it's like, it's so picky the first day and you kind of hate the song the second day and you have this bad energy from the memory of the write. And I think sometimes just having the magic.
Well, that's really good advice, and we brought this up on the show a number of times, and it's also been stated, like, give yourself permission to do a bad first draft.
Just whip
through the thing, just get the thing done, and then you can always come back to it and
write
and
a terrible song and don't feel bad about it. Just get out what you want to get out in the moment, you know, just that feeling. Don't lose that, and then go back and, like, freaking tear it apart, like, because we all do it. Before you record a song, we all tear it apart.
Well, because, I mean, you can really tell there's a lot of there is a lot of craft in this stuff, where there is not, you know, there isn't that sloppy syllable. There's, you know, like all your harmonies are really well planned out. They, you know, they definitely build, like, it sounds very natural and it sounds very free. But I can also tell that you guys have put a lot of detail into it.
Yeah,
and
you're been a lot of work.
Like, there's not one line here that you haven't sort of gone through and considered.
What's interesting about the craft, though, which I find is we weren't really detailed with the songs, these ones, but I think we wrote a lot of bad songs to get to the point where we could write a good song, or I guess some
decent song
in the moment. But it took us probably 500 sloppy songs to get there. So I think sometimes it's not about being overly picky on one song, but just getting really good at your craft to the point where you can go into a co-writing session and write a song you're happy with. I think, it's just about sharpening your skills. Yeah.
Patrick, any final thoughts there, Patrick?
I was just going to say one important thing that the listeners should be taking away from you two tonight is that not only are you writing good songs, but you're selling those songs. When you're performing them, you really know how to sell the songs, how to present the songs. You're obviously putting a lot of time and effort into how you want to present it, and it shows.
That's an
interesting thing. Just the way the harmonies are weaving in and out and dropping here and going, it's astoundingly complex. But you probably do it very naturally. But I suspect you've worked structure it that way.
Yeah, like harmonizing and singing together obviously is like something that definitely comes naturally to us for some reason. Having us that person always around to like rehearse with and we just seem to do it naturally, like without thinking now, that's because, you know, obviously we're sisters, we're doing it together we've been doing it our whole life. So then it's nice when it gets to that point where it's easy, you know, and you don't have to labor over it, right?
Is that the band that I hear?
That is the band. Where can people check out your music, guys?
Oh, yes. So we do have like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
It's all at Command Sisters. Oh,
Command Sisters.
Everything's, just Command Sisters.
Is there CommandSisters.com?
Yes, CommandSisters.com. That's it.
We'll be releasing our debut single this summer.
Oh, that's great.
This summer. What's it called?
Back to You.
Oh, it's the one we heard tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Excellent.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks so much for coming on the show. I hope you guys will come back again sometime.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Thank you so much for having us.
Because that's all the time we have tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, and Patrick. And we'd like to thank our guests, the Command Sisters, all the way from Calgary. Send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. Also, subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes at songtalk.ca/iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our very free newsletter at songtalk.ca. Yes, Neil, it's coming.
Better be.
You can find all the links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned here on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And if you are in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Thursday the 20th, I believe, at 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transact Club at Bloor and Spadina. It's free to join the meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all those details. We'd like to thank CJRU 1280 AM for putting up with all our shenanigans and horseplay. We'd like to thank Vanessa Veerland for manning the social media channels. Yay!
Well done, Vanessa.
Hey, Tan, we hope you're doing okay. And most of all, we'd like to thank you, the home listener. If you are on Twitter, you can follow Neil at...
NeilModi_.com.
You can follow Patrick at...
BGR Ballantyne.
You can follow...
In front of that?
Yeah, hashtag, isn't that sad? You can follow me at the Phil Emery. And of course, you can always follow Vanessa.
What about Vanessa?
Sunny_Vanessa.
And of course, you can follow Eitan at Tani_R.
And Command Sisters again...
Command Sisters.
Very handy that you got that. And please stop by the website at songtalk.ca to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest on this very show. Thanks very much for listening, and we will see you again next week. Good night, everyone.
Keep on writing.
Woo!